Okay, there's, we have nothing to report. No voting was done in closed session. No action taken. We have a new student representative to the Board of Trustees. Okay, Michelle Yang from the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. Okay, and would you like to say something about this? I'm not sure it's an honor or not. Okay.
It is an honor. Yeah, it is. Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle Yang, and I am from MCAA, and I'm really honored and super happy to be here today.
And we'd like to welcome you. Okay.
Thank you.
And it's time for your report.
All right, then. So I'm going to start off with Marysville Charter Academy's report. So we had Spirit Week this week. Yesterday was Pajama Day. Today was Pattern Day. Wednesday is 50s Day. Thursday is Rock and Roll Day. And Friday is Movie Star Day. Fundraisers. The PTSA is currently conducting a clothing drive. Parents can drop off discarded clothing at the office on Wednesdays, and then the money will benefit our students in many ways, including senior scholarships. We have a lot of upcoming productions. Last week, we have Actor's Studio, which was a one-night performance last Friday and included all students in the drama classes. This Thursday and Friday, we have our showcase performances. Showcase is a performance that allows our students to display their talent in many forms. Assemblies. There will be an honor roll assembly on February 2nd. At this assembly, we will also be having student performances. And then there's a multicultural assembly on February 17th. There will be dances, music, and different forms of writing being presented to the school. And then moving on to Lyndhurst High School's board report, submitted by student board rep Danielle Samudio. So reading from this, for our first week back to school from Christmas break, LHS was bustling with dress-up days with our first annual winter ball. Dress-up days included New Year, New Me, Pajama Day, Whiteout Day, Boots and Beanies Day, and then Straight Blazon Day. The winter ball was on Saturday, January 16th from 8:30 to 11 p.m. This was our first semi-formal homecoming dance in quite a while. The attendance was great, and the positive talk from the students afterwards was even better. Right after the reflection of the Lyndhurst High Winter Ball, the leadership class started planning for our upcoming Blazer Multi-Awards Academic Rally. Students and staff greatly enjoyed the rally last year, and the leadership class is working hard to make it even better. The BMA rally is planned to happen on February 19th.
And welcome. Okay, moving on. We have presentations tonight from Crow Horwath. Are they?
Good evening. I'm Jennifer Hall with Crow Horwath, the auditors of the district, and I am going to present to you the audited financial statements for 2014-15 year. And I believe you all have a copy of those as well as the required communication letter. So I'll go over those briefly, and then if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Can the audience hear? Okay.
Oh, that's for taller people. Okay, we'll start with the audit report. And in the front of the audit report is the management discussion and analysis. And that briefly summarizes kind of the happenings throughout the year for the school district. And then following that is the audit opinion. And with that, within the audit report, there are a few opinions. One is on the general audit itself, the financial statements, one on state compliance, and one on federal compliance. And all of those were unmodified opinions, which is what you want. You want to have unmodified. And as a result of that, there were no any audit adjustments. There were no audit adjustments, so happy to report that. as well as findings, which you find in the back of the audit report. There's only one again this year related to ASB Associated Student Body, so that's nice to see as well, none related to state or federal compliance. And that's good to see because so much work is put into complying with all of the laws and regulations around state and federal, and so to have no findings, it's really great. And shows to the hard work of your staff within the district. And to bring you back to the front, it starts with the government-wide, which is basically taking the fund financial information, which you look at throughout the year, and adds in your assets and your debt. So that's essentially the beginning of the financial statements. Following that are the notes to the financial statements, which describe some of those numbers. And then if you want to turn to the required communication letter, it's called the SAS 114 letter. And essentially, that's just going over the responsibilities as us, as auditors, any new accounting pronouncements. So this year, there was a big one, I guess you could say, in accounting for GASB 68 and 71 related to recording your pension liability for PERS and STIRS. And so that's just a new number within the financial statements. And so it describes that. And then also, if there were any audit adjustments, it would describe those. There were no disagreements with management, and following the letter is the representation letter of management telling that they've provided us all the information we need for the audit. So that's a general overview of the financial statements and communication letter. Do you have any questions?
No, I know it's a tremendous amount of work. I want to thank our staff for all the work that they do. That's great.
Yeah.
And we're always grateful when you don't find some glaring error. So thank you.
Thank you to Ryan and Jennifer and their staff, as well as at the school sites, because they put a lot of effort into it as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay, next we have a budget update. Governor's 2016-17 state budget proposal.
All right, good evening. There's a lot of detail in here about the state's, the governor's proposal for the state budget that will come July 1st, 2016 and run through June 30th, 2017. I'm not going to go through every detail because there's a lot of information. I'm just going to cover the highlights, but please feel free to stop me at any time. This is the budget reporting cycle. Again, I show this every time, and you can see where we are. We're coming up. The next time I'll be updating you is in March with second interim, and that will cover a projection as well for 2016 and 17. A lot of the themes for the budget just continue to stabilize. There's continued growth, not as much growth. There's no trigger on the reserve cap, and the governor is acknowledges the growth, but realizes and has a kind of a cautious optimism that, you know, there's a potential for eventual recession and stuff. He's just being, trying to be conservative in his financial planning with the state budget. The major growth factors this year have to do with the Proposition 30 taxes, which, again, at the end of 2016, the income tax portion of that, not the income tax, sorry, the sales tax portion is going to be expiring. We've had continued growth in the economy, and then he's repaid the maintenance factor. That's why there isn't as much growth as there was in the past couple years. Another thing is, at full implementation, we're supposed to get the cost of living adjustment, or COLA is supposed to come back. But the way it's going, if the COLA stay as low as they are, you wouldn't have enough to cover your increasing expenses. So that's a concern he mentions and highlights. And we need to prepare for a slowdown is what he pretty much says within the budget. But we still need to push forward from our point as a school district and all school districts in California that we need better funding for schools higher than the national average because we're still below the national average. So this year there's a growth from an increase of 766 from the enacted budget to increase for increased personal income. That's for this year, 2015-16, so that came out as part of his proposal. So we'll get a little bit more this year than what we anticipated. We'll bring that forward in March when we present the second interim. But for next year, there's about $2.4 billion total going to education funding increase. So you can see the Proposition 98, which is our minimum guarantee, ends up being our maximum guarantee from the state, was $69.2 billion for education last year. This year it's $71.6. That's your $2.4 billion. All the proposals contained, there's not, you know, I won't go through every little thing. It's just obviously there's that increase in the gap closure for local control funding formula. There's a new thing with early education block grant that's not new funding per se, but it may affect preschools and extended transitional kindergarten. There is some one-time discretionary money. I'll get into the details of that. So this year, there's $2.8 million total, like I said, for the total implementation of LCFF, and it closes the remaining gap by almost 50%. So the gap that we started with initially when it was LCFF was started 3 years ago, we've closed 95% of that gap if this goes through the governor, but that target kind of raises as the Proposition 98 guarantee and attendance changes. So we're really at 85% of where the target lies now, but it's 95% of the original. The increase is about $489 per average daily attendance pupil. And obviously it varies by district. To give you kind of a long-term look at kind of what that per ADA revenue has been over the years, you can see those downturns, especially 9-10, which was the height of the recession, impact on funding. We got a little increase the next year, but then it was a little decrease and then flat, so you had to make cuts in those years. 2013-14, LCFF started and the restoration funding started in this implementation plan. You can see the last 2 years have been the big years, and next year's is a more moderate increase, which is what we expected because the state has that maintenance factor. They're trying to pay back all the money they owed under Proposition 98, and now they've pretty much achieved that, even though there's a little bit more for next year that's going to occur because of the increase in state revenue. The thing we're trying to watch is, as you can see, that blue line is what your target is. You can see it kind of getting higher and higher over the years. And in 16-17, it's 85% of what the current gap is, but the original gap is 13-14. You see the blue bar was lower. But as they fund us each year, if they don't continue to fund us above and beyond to restore, and they just fund us at COLA, that gap will actually get bigger because the target's raising. So that's why he's saying the cautious optimism. If we don't fund at a higher level than what's kind of the regular normal growth, then the target gets higher and higher, and we're not meeting the full implementation. So it looks like, well, we've got 95% of the target of where we started, but unless we get those funding increases, we're not going to close it. So kind of what that means for us is it's still a beneficial thing. We put the average daily attendance at what we projected come first interim. That's for, and we had an increase this year of our enrollment, so we expect our attendance to go up when we do the final recording of it at the period two in March. But there may be an increase in 16-17. We're working on that. We just got our projections for enrollment next year, so that ADA may increase when we get to second interim in March. But based on that level, our funding goes to 87 point almost 8 million from 82.36 million. That's an increase of $5.4 million. For next year, if we keep the same ADA of what we're projecting this year. Again, that may increase come second interim when we finish our projection for next year's average daily attendance. And this is, you can kind of see it graphically. If we get 5.4 million, our remaining gap is 5.4 million as of next year. Again, the targets move every year though. Most of it is base. It's not as much supplemental concentration. The one-time funds I discussed also is about $214 per ADA. For us, based on that projection of ADA that we showed as a first interim, it's about $1.9 million. We've discussed with the board, obviously, with our needs and facilities, it will likely go to facility-type projects. But that's much-needed funding. And that really just results from the governor saying he's projecting revenues at a very conservative rate, and then when the revenues finally come in on the state general fund, they end up being a little higher. And he says, well, I'll give you that money, but I'm not going to promise that for year after year, just 1 year to one time. This year we had, you know, about $3.6 million in a one-time discretionary. It's a little less next year, but we are anticipating some money in one-time funding next year. Another thing, just constantly remind people that of that increase, we talked about $5.4 million, and it could even be higher if ADA is projected to increase next year. We have to take our employer rates on CalSTRS from 10.73 to 12.58%. There's a real cost to that, and we'll project that again at second interim when we're looking at 16-17. And also CalPERS goes up from 11.847 to 13.05. Again, those costs have to come out of that increased revenue, and we'll have a better estimate of what we anticipate our budget recurring surplus to be at second interim in March. So with that, they have at the state level, they have their budget committee hearings. They start ironing out what the details are going to be. The May revision I will give to you in May, and that's what we use for our budget next year. In March, we will use these January assumptions in our financial report. On the local level, again, we'll show you the changes in projected revenue expenditures for 15-16. As you recall, there was $766 million increase to the funding for 15-16 as part of the proposal, and also the $2.8 billion for 16-17. So we'll not only cast forward those revenue projections, we'll adjust for ADA and what we anticipate in 16-17, as well as what our expenditures are going to be. So that will give us the net effect of what we anticipate in 16-17. Again, as you guys know, subject to change, it's always a moving target. And we'll continue, but that is how we need to work with, we plan next year, and we're meeting with our LCAP Budget Advisory Committee. We're going to give them this information, the same information we gave you in February. It's actually the Wednesday after the next board meeting. And with that information and come around second interim, we'll know basically what we anticipate the available resources to implement anything as part of the LBAC. So this is the beginning gestation part of how we're going to fund anything we're going to do additionally in that plan that we're not already doing for 16-17. So it's good news overall, but it's not as good as it has been. So now we have to start thinking about the future, because the California economy is pretty much tied to the stock market, and the stock market hasn't been doing well, and the cyclical nature of the economy, you can look back in the history of the state, the nation, the world, there's ups and downs. So right now we're still part of the up. It's not up as much as it was, but we'll just have to take it kind of year by year, and now we have the information we need to move forward for our planning for 16-17 financially and as it comes for our programmatic and educational needs. Questions?
Actually, just a comment, I think, Ryan. I think it's a good year that we're doing our master facilities plan, because I think these monies are, even though it looks good for next year, it's going to be important for us to take a look at that master facilities plan and try to get our sites repaired, what need to be repaired, and not utilizing this money for, you know, on reoccurring costs or ongoing costs.
Yeah, and I think we have a facilities update again to the board at the next board meeting that Ms. Jensen, and Mr. Lane, Mr. Barnett will participate in myself. And we have to look at, well, you know, there's so many projects in the facility master plan will highlight the millions of dollars that we'll need to really address the different needs on our campuses. But there is some money in the recurring budget in terms of we have some routine maintenance, which are smaller projects. There's some deferred maintenance where we can take more of the repair of existing systems. And then but these one-time monies are very helpful, because you'll see, you know, even that $1.9 million, we could obviously spend that very quickly here with the amount of needs we have. But now we'll have a plan as we get these one-time. Hopefully the one-time dollars continue in 17-18. We'll just have to wait and see. But at least we know we have a script in which we can follow when we do get these monies. And we don't incur, like you said, the spend on recurring items when we really are getting one-time money.
Ryan, I know it's early yet, but have you put kind of a number on the CalSTRS, CalPERS rate increases and what that'll mean to our district, like an estimated number yet?
It will probably be over a million or so. We haven't run exact number. We're waiting for second interim. The books close on January 31st, but, you know, so we'll have a definitive number in March. Thank you for your time.
The governor, our governor mentioned today on the radio that we're tied to the stock market, which hasn't looked too good in the last few weeks, but hopefully we'll do a real turnaround there. Okay, comments from board members. Mr. Dannable? Mr. Crawford? Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
Actually, I would just like to welcome everybody back from the holidays, and we're ready to start again, and we're already a month or so into it, and in just a few more months, we'll be starting summer. But thank you for all that you do, and welcome back.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes, after the holidays, I was able to visit Cordova, Browns Valley, and Dobbins. And once you leave town, you forget what it's like up in the hills. And each one had a common mantra, talked about the maintenance department. They said they could see a difference, and they brought it up to me at each one of the schools I was at. And I thought that was great. Ryan and Travis are going to be at South Yuba on Thursday, talking about the upgrade to Lyndhurst High School. That's the group that meets once a month, monthly, and we bring people from the district as long as the county. Also, I want to note that our longtime senior bus driver, Karen Sasek, is retiring after 26 years and been there a long time. Student of the Quarter that Bernie puts on for the Exchange Club is on February 3rd, and that represents 9 high schools, and I'm always proud to see that our district, the people in the district office, as busy as they are, either our superintendent or assistant, have made it to go to that, and people have noted that here we have all these high schools, and yet from your district seems to have somebody that goes to that. And so Bernie does a good job putting that on, and it's a reward for our students that achieve at the local high schools. That's it.
Mr. Harris?
Well, I was going to welcome Michelle, but she's gone.
Whoa.
And our two new representatives.
Okay. I would like to announce that the Academic Decathlon is a week from this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
And if you've never been, it's quite a show of making the adults feel stupid. Yes,
yeah.
That's good work.
Very much so.
So yeah. The kids really do that.
Yes. It's really a good thing.
I visited all the middle school faculties, and I brought some information back from our conference down in San Diego on SB 1165, which is sexual abuse and trafficking. And I think I really was amazed. All of the staff were really receptive to the stories that went with that. So, and like I said, we'll welcome her anyway. From the MCAA, we've got the principal out there. He can report. We welcomed her again.
She had to get to work.
Okay. All right. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. We've missed you.
No, I've been here. But your time for meetings is killing me because I have rep council right before this, and they're still doing their thing. So sorry I wasn't able to load this up ahead of time. I just have a few slides, some information to share with you. We did our bargaining survey and included, I hope this is going to work, included a few other questions that I thought you just might be interested in. That's not mine. Can I take this disc out? This stick out over here? Because this doesn't seem to be working. This one's mine. Right? I need a place to put it. Let me see if this one will work. It felt something. I'm sorry. Okay, just a little peek about our bargaining survey. This is the first survey that has received so many responses. We had 295 the last time I looked, which was just a few minutes ago. I sent it out again this afternoon, giving them a deadline of this next Monday. And so a few more came in, but so I wanted you guys to see a couple of things. It used to be that Plan 1A, the health plan, was something that almost 100% of our unit was using. It's the plan that board members have, or at least have offered to them. And it used to be said that, you know, teaching didn't really pay very much, but at least you had really good health care. So now, over all these years where, you know, I've been coming up and telling you about how health insurance costs have gotten so high, our members are responding by changing their plan to a lower plan. And so that Plan 1A is now being used by about 26% of us. And the Bronze plan, which is kind of the lowest plan that actually has coverage, that HDHP2 thing, this high deductible, no coverage for prescriptions, is the lowest that's used. But people, I know personally, I have gone from 1A to 4A to now I'm at 8. And it's just the gambling thing to see how much I'm going to have to pay. But I thought you should know what's happening in the district with our unit members. And then I also asked who's covered by the plan, because we often have people talk about, well, would it be better if we had tiered rates? This is just survey, and at this point you can see 272 people answered it at the time that I made this slide. It's not all the heavy detail that I've done in the past, but I've gotten all the demographics from our folks as far as how many people they're covering, what plan they have, and I just broke it all down to if they were going to have the same type of coverage that we went to tiered, how much would it cost our unit as a whole? Because for somebody who on tiered is only covering themselves, it's a lot cheaper. If they're covering just one other person besides themselves, it's sort of kind of the same. But if they're covering more than that, if they have three people or more, then it's hugely increased as far as how much they would have to pay. And so I had gone through a really detailed thing to see what that difference would be. And at that time, this was 2 years ago, it would have cost our unit as a whole $20,000 a month more than the unit was paying per month on composite. And right now you can see that 54% of us have themselves and more than one other. So it's highly unlikely that that group would vote to go tiered. That's how I'm looking at it. And then this was surprising. This just blew me away. Because we have never really said anything about the calendar, because it's normally 50-50. And I just knew it was going to be a 50-50 thing. This is a question about with the district's calendar. Would they want to continue with a 3-week or to have a 2-week winter break? I also opened it up for comment as to why. And there's a lot more to it than I like to have 3 weeks off, because that's actually not really it so much. But in the when I first sent it out, within half an hour, I had 6 for 3 weeks, 6 for 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, that's what it's going to be like again. The last time I did it, I think it came back about 75 people to 75 people, because not that many people actually answered it. This time it's 70% for 3 weeks. And the kind of information that I got back was about that third week and how they like having that third week because the first 2 weeks are, oh my God, crazy with family and traveling and shopping and all that stuff you do during the holiday season. But the third week is a time to kind of ease back into their jobs. They can go into their classroom and get prepared. If professional development is offered, we've had some PD offered during that break. They can go in, see their colleagues, and work together on things and sort of ease back into it and work in their rooms at peace without family bothering them because all the family had to go home. So that's kind of the biggest thing. Some people told me that they would have gone for preferring the 2 week, except that only if it meant that with 2 weeks we would start later in August. They didn't care so much about how far into June they went as the August startup time. There's a lot of stuff going on in August, in the beginning of August, that gets interrupted because of our start time. I'm sure there's other things that I could share with you about specifics on that, but I just wanted to let you know that. We're not going to be putting in a demand to bargain on the calendar just because it's too fraught with, you know, in June somebody will say, wait a minute, that's not what I wanted. But I wanted to share that information with you. And if anybody had any questions for me, since I haven't gotten up to the podium in a while, if you wanted to ask me something, I'm here.
Thank you. You can't make everybody happy.
No. I would like to make the 70% happy, I suppose.
We'll see what we can do.
Thanks.
Okay. Operating Engineers Local, Union 3. California School Employees Association, 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Okay, I have no public comment cards. And that brings us to Superintendent's Report.
Tonight, I am going to be giving the board, as my superintendent's report, an update on where we are with the 2015-16 LCAP implementation. As you will remember, we have three goals, and so all of our objectives and our goal achievement is aligned to those three goals. So the first goal, as you'll remember, is to provide learning opportunities that result in increased academic achievement and ensure quality classroom instruction for all students, including support systems which meet the needs of the targeted populations. Foster youth, EL, and our low socioeconomic students are those special populations. I've just highlighted the 15-16 because what we set out for 14-15 as goals continue until such time as our LCAP Budget Committee, or LBAC, brings forward recommendations to make those changes and to the superintendent. And so those are continuing. But the ones that we have implemented this year are highlighted in the yellow. We heard the teachers and the site administrators talk about those consumables and the costs of those, so we did plug that in for this year, so it's covering those. We allocated, you'll see there, $38,000, and to date, and this was back in December, right around $10,000 of that had been expended. We'll continue with second semester, so more materials are being printed, and they will come out of that fund. For 15-16, we increased the athletic budgets at our three intermediate schools by $5,000 each. And a big one for our high schools was the fact that we had AP textbooks that were still carved into clay tablets. So we tried to get them some newer materials, and you will see there that we did allocate $55,000 for that. And to date, it's right around $42,000. Almost 43,000, and you can see the textbooks that were purchased, calculus, American lit, language, literature, American history, and psychology. Not Both of our comprehensive high schools have the same AP courses, so if you just see one site listed, that's because that's the site that is currently offering that AP course. We did allocate $162,000 for two full-time instructional strategy teachers on special assignments. We did not fill that this year, and so we have moved those funds to help with another one of our goals, which is to make sure that we are able to reduce the number of technological devices for our students. So those dollars are going to purchase Chromebooks and other laptops that are needed in our classrooms. We implemented before and after school tutoring. You'll see there it was for middle and high schools, and so we looked at the cost per hour and took that dollar amount of $61,000, and it came out to right around $53,000, and divvied it up amongst the five schools listed there based on their student population. And as we move through the LCAP review, some of these items you will see, I'm hoping, be enhanced by additional dollars so that we can have more opportunities for our students, and that may possibly be one of them. We also added seven full-time PE specialists, and so that's listed there. We also brought in the Renaissance Learning. That's the reading and math program. That's a software cloud-based program where students read books and then take the comprehensive tests. And so we were able to get a really great deal for a few thousand more to bring on the math. So we went with ELA and math. And so those are resources for our sites and our teachers to use on a daily basis. We did complete the musical instruments for Lyndhurst High School and Yuba Gardens, their wish list. And so you'll see there it was a little less than our estimated $60,000. We were able to find our four elementary music teachers, and so they are listed there as well. One of the bigger items is to maintain the baseline for the CTE and ROP courses. As you will remember, those dollars are going away, and so they are anticipated to, we anticipate to pick up those dollars at the district level through our LCFF funding. So this year it was a reduction of $400,000. Next year it'll be a reduction of $800,000, and ultimately it will be the full $900,000 we'll have to come up with in 3 years. So that continues to be an ongoing cost and one that will grow over the years. The board approved adding two positions at the high school for either an additional elective or an advanced placement class, and Lyndhurst hired a teacher for their culinary arts program, and Marysville hired a teacher for math, so they have those positions in place, so they're able to offer some additional sections of courses they felt were necessary for their students to achieve at higher levels. And then finally, the salary increases to all bargaining units for this year was a 5%, or slightly over $3 million. Goal two, enhance the current learning environment to ensure that our schools provide a physically and emotionally safe environment that is culturally responsive to all students. You all know we've added the Catapult emergency messaging system, the software. We've all been trained. Jolie found that program and brought it to our district, and it's paid off in more than what we're paying out dollar-wise to have the program, just in peace of mind and the communication level that's increased throughout our district. We did hire our own SARB, School Attendance Review Board Secretary, and that's been helpful in maintaining our students in school and making sure that we're on top of that. Again, Jolie Carrion supervises that individual. We added funding for some of our smaller schools or schools who had not yet participated in the PBIS program, and they wanted to, so that's a grassroots program. They asked for it, they advocated for it, and so that training is going on this year for what's known as Tier 1. We at the high schools are so excited and thrilled right now just because they realize how much they've missed those counselors. The board did approve adding counselors at the two comprehensive high schools so that we would have four at each high school, one per grade level. So one at Lyndhurst, two at Marysville, and one at Alternative Ed. Then we also looked at how do we fully fund the existing, because sites were picking up additional pieces of those positions, so that has been put into place. And then finally, in the counseling department, we increased the counseling secretary's work here so that they are there the optimum number of days to get all of that scheduling and backup work that needs to be done for our students. And then we also allocated approximately $250,000 originally. That has been enhanced by those two teachers on special assignment dollars being diverted to this goal. And so we do have Brian busy buying devices, and so they're arriving all the time. And our final goal, which is three, which is to increase parent, family, and community involvement in the education of all students. This year we added Parenting with Dignity classes, which is once again coming out of Jolie's department. And we also funded 2 hours per day for our homeless liaison. So we're very fortunate to have someone who is doing an amazing job and has a lot of contacts in the community and is reaching out to a lot more homeless students than we've seen in a number of years. So as we prepare for our 2016-17 LCAP process, you'll see a big blue check by the December 9th. We have held our first meeting. Our next one is February 10th, and as Ryan talked about, he will be sharing the governor's proposed budget, and that should be the 16-17 state budget, and we'll be going through those other bulleted items, with March 9th being developing the survey and the 20th tabulating those results. And at that meeting, they'll be solidifying the recommendations to be presented to the superintendent. So here's our timeline. We met it last year. We think it's doable again this year. So the first draft of the LCAP for next year will be available May 6th. It'll be open for responses on the 16th, and the final draft and public hearing for board approval will be, public hearing will be on the 21st and the 28th, just one short week later, will be presented to the board, and hopefully the board will adopt as it is revised and presented to them. We have our budget LCAP committee members in place. A few changes, but fortunately we have a lot of folks returning again this year, so they have that base knowledge, and so hopefully we'll be able to move through all of our tasks in a much faster but cautious manner. And at that, that's where we are. Any questions? It's been the work of a lot of folks and putting to into place the recommendations of the LCAP committee. So thank you. Mr. Rasmussen, do you have a question?
Actually, just a comment, Dr. Todd. The very first thing that we saw in there is professional development, and I think professional development is so important for our staff. If we want to continue to improve the student achievement, we need to keep up with our professional development, because we kind of know our clientele changes on a regular basis. So very excited to see us having that professional development there, and thank you very much. Great job.
We've also been really excited to start providing some professional development for our career technical ed and our ROP folks. So that's something that Jamie Larson has been working on this year to bring. So we're trying to meet all the needs of a number of groups of folks who have some specialized interests. So it's an ever-evolving professional development calendar.
Three meetings to approve, and they're all in three separate motions, or two motions, I guess, two motions. The minutes from the regular board meeting of 12-8-15, and minutes from the special board meeting of 1-11-16. Do we have a
motion to approve?
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Seconded, Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? And the minutes from the special board meeting from 12-15-15, and moved to approve by Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Danibal. All those in favor?
Aye.
One abstention, Mr. Crawford. Okay, consent agenda. Okay, would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda?
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Harris to approve the consent agenda. Is there seconded by Mr. Danable? Any discussion? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? No. And that brings us to a new business. For the Board of Trustees, Resolution 2015-16-13 excuse board members' attendance at meeting of the Board of Trustees.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there Mr. Danable seconds? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to
opposed.
Child.
Opposed.
Opposed.
Aye. Abstain.
None.
Abstain.
Abstain.
One abstained.
Mr. Crawford abstains.
One opposed?
So.
5-1-1.
So I have five yes, one no by Mr. Rasmussen, and one abstain by Mr. Crawford.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Child Development, Resolution 15-16-14, amendments to the 15-16 Child Development Program contract.
We were fortunate to be contracted by the Department of Ed to receive some amendments in the for both of our contracts, our CCTR contract, which provides care for our school-age population in the amount of $11,156, as well as additional funds, $133,764 for our preschool programs. And those amendments were based on the budget, 2015 Budget Act by our governor, and includes a 1.2% 0.2% COLA, an increase for professional development, and a standard reimbursement rate, which will increase our daily allowance that we receive for students. And we're pleased to be able to have these funds and are anxious to put them to good use. Some preliminary plans are to, again, provide professional development, as well as increase some of the time allocated for our teachers and staff to be able to do the jobs that they do as we increase quality. Questions?
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you kindly.
That's nice. Yes, it's nice to have the money. Okay. The board will entertain a motion.
I move to approve.
Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Fleury seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Seven yes. Okay. Business services number one, agreement with Schoolworks and Company for developer fee study. I had a question on that. What are the developer fees now and as opposed to the new ones proposed, projected? Are values going up or down?
It depends on the conditions in your attendance area, whether you can charge different levels of fees. Likely they will go up, I'm guessing, just because of the cost of development and what has happened in the economy. It's tied to a construction index and whatnot, so those have gone up. So we anticipate it to go up this year, and then we have to reevaluate too, because we were in a condition before where we were declining in enrollment, so we can only charge level one fees. We're now in a condition where we're increasing enrollment, so we may be able to charge level two fees. So in terms of total fee, it will likely go up for the district. That's what we anticipate, at least. And that's, we conduct the study every 2 years because that's when they reassess according to the index.
Okay.
Ryan, I also had a question there. So it seems kind of odd if it says if we don't reach the level one that the company's only going to charge us 50%. It seems kind of an odd statement how much they're going to charge us by what level they determine we're at. Is that?
I don't think it's going to be applicable, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't really affect the outcome of the study, but for some reason or other, they charge 50% of what if we don't qualify for level two. So, well, obviously, if we, like last time where we didn't qualify for level two, we'll take the discount, but yeah. It's
interesting.
I've never seen that before.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? The board will entertain a motion. Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? No. Seven yes. Okay. Business services number two, resolution 2015-16-15, amending the joint powers agreement forming the school risk and insurance management group. I guess we're directing questions to Ryan. Okay, we've been involved in this before. This is a rewrite of the original, right?
There's an existing joint powers agreement that hasn't been updated since the 70s. Obviously, some things in vernacular has changed, so they're trying to update it for the entire group. And I'm the voting member representative for this school district, and Dr. Todd is the alternate. And you could see on page 136 of special resources a list of every district that's involved. We're involved. It's an insurance JPA. We're a member for the workers' compensation portion. So they're just trying to bring in the formalities, the voting, and the other like clauses that are typical of any risk management JPA in the state of California. So just bringing it up to date. And this is a requirement to change the JPA, even if it's a minor change, even if it's a grammatical change. It has to go to each board of each voting member. If it was the bylaws, and that's kind of bylaws are more how they function and the procedure of things, it doesn't. But for the JPA agreement, every district in this JPA is bringing it to their board. And then it will be a final action will be taken by the JPA at our April meeting. We meet twice a year.
And I'm assuming that any of the bylaws that might have been left out are the traditional bylaws that were in there before, because I noticed there was a discussion on a few conflicts there on the terms. One of the things, my term as a board member would be up this year if someone takes it as a three-year term. So if you're the member, you're guaranteeing 3 years on the term as the voting member.
Yeah, what happens with the insurance is because, as you know, especially specifically related to workers' compensation, if you have a claim, it tends to last more than 3 years, so it gives you time to transition and move. You can't just, you have to be involved within that pool, because if anybody leaves the pool, it affects all other members and vice versa. So it's just a way, and those claims continue for many years sometimes. So,
okay. Any questions? Okay. Board will entertain a motion. Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
A seven yes. Looked like any nays? All right. Next item three, the quitclaim deed to Roses Bar School in favor of Wheatland School District. And that's kind of a complicated one in the geography, but
so this
I guess it comes down to geography.
Yeah, this property is located in Smartsville. It's been used by the Smartsville Fire over the years. And we took possession of this when the Roses Bar School District ceased to exist and we unified as a district. Since then, as you can tell, and that was in 1965. In 91, this property was part of our attendance boundary was taken over by Wheatland School District. And thereby, we have the same attorneys, but we looked into, with our attorneys, and looked into all the laws, and whoever has possession over that attendance area, when it's moved, the property goes with whoever that falls within their attendance boundary. So we had to make sure, because we didn't want to quit claim something that we had a vested interest in, but because the boundaries changed, that interest transferred over to Wheatland. We never followed up. Wheatland never followed up. So they're trying to get a clear title to this property since it is technically within their district boundaries. So if we had a right, then we would have a different conversation, but the way it works statutorily is it transferred over with that attendance boundary.
So, Ryan, that is the high school district, not the elementary district, or vice versa?
No, it's Wheatland School District. It's the elementary.
Elementary.
It's elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, if there's no other questions, the board will entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve.
Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Boom seconds. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? No. Seven yes. And unless we'd like to stay, well, we've got a few things. We do have some items of business. The holiday season has been tough on our retired staff. We're going to close the meeting in memory of four of our former employees. Bert King from the Alicia principal, a Kynoch teacher, Dan West, Alicia teacher, Mary Alice Greep, okay, daughter of Mrs. Brown, who works at MCAA, and Pat Reif, okay, a paraeducator at Cedar Lane. How many?
I think 39 years.
39 years as a paraeducator. Okay, no other business?